Picture this scene. I'm the oldest of six. My brothers and sisters are coming into the house, and I say to them, "Wipe your feet." What they hear is, "You better wipe your feet or else you're an ignorant slob and you deserve to get punished." Next scene. My sister, who's just younger than I, is there, and the brothers and sisters come in, and she says, "Wipe your feet." And what they hear is, "You better wipe your feet because mother just cleaned the house and we all have to work together to keep the house nice and clean." Same message, but experienced in very different ways. I think that helps us understand a little bit about what's going on between John the Baptist and Jesus. Both, the Gospels tell us, began their preaching with the same thing. Reform your lives. The kingdom of God is in hand. But when John proclaimed that, people heard, "Reform your lives because you're all a bunch of miserable sinners and the day is coming, a great and terrible day, and pretty soon there's going to literally be hell to pay." When Jesus made his proclamation, people heard, "Reform your lives, put on your best clothes and get nice and scrubbed so that you can be ready to enter into the heavenly bank." Same message, but experienced in very different ways. And maybe that helps us understand the gospel today, where we find that John the Baptist doesn't know exactly what to make of Jesus. Now, he knows he's not the one. He knows he's just preparing the way. He knows there is another to come. And then you can imagine him thinking when he heard Jesus proclaiming the same thing he proclaimed. Reform your lives, the kingdom of God is at hand, that Jesus was the long-expected one. However, it didn't look like the way John preached. Instead of fire and brimstone, instead of fear and terror, Jesus proclaimed compassion, Jesus proclaimed mercy. Hence his question. Are you the one who is to come? And Jesus answers by saying, well, this kingdom that we proclaim, what's it going to look like? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the lepers will be cleansed, the dead will rise, and the poor will have good news. That's my credentials. What I do is my resume. This experience between John and Jesus, I think, really is ultimately about different experiences of God. What is God like? We're here in this Advent season when we're remembering Emmanuel, God is with us. Well, what is this God who is with us like? Is he like the God that John the Baptist proclaimed, who's making a list and checking it twice and going to find out who's naughty and nice, going to give presents to the nice and lumps of coal to the naughty, a God who judges and condemns from a place in impenetrable darkness? Or is God like the one proclaimed by Jesus, the loving Father, who accepts us from the very first moment of our existence with unconditional love, simply because of who we are, children of God made in the divine image? But Jesus does not dismiss. He doesn't poo-poo John the Baptist. As a matter of fact, Jesus names him an MVP, a most valuable person. Did you hear what he said? Among those born of women, there is not anyone who's greater than John the Baptist. He's an MVP. So we have to heed John. We have to realize that his message is important. The message of God's judgment matters. But we have to make sure that we understand that always in light of the preaching of Jesus, where he tells us that those who are his followers, those who believe in the God he proclaims, even if they are the least, are greater than the MVP. Why is that? John is a 10. 10 in looks, a 10 in smarts, a 10 in personality. He's the greatest. And we're the least. What Jesus wants us to understand is that even if we're not a 10, we are still incredibly blessed, not because of our achievements, not because of what we've done, but because the grace of God has filled us up and made us precious. We are gems in the divine image. And because of that, we're greater than the greatest. We're saying all this, of course, on Gaudete Sunday, for all of you old Latins out there, when we get to wear pink. The liturgical book says rose, but it looks like pink to me. Somewhere between blush and bashful, you know. And we are celebrating the joy then, the joy of the gospel on this Sunday. And we are joyful, not simply out of a nostalgic memory for what happened so long ago, you know, with the manger and the shepherds and the ox and the lamb keeping time, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. No, we are joyful not just because of what happened in Bethlehem 2019, give or take, years ago. We're joyful because of what's happening in Chicago today with the presence of God. Yes, we have joy that Jesus was born so long ago, that God was with us in him. But we are joyful because God is with us today as we hear the word of God, as we celebrate God's sacrament, as we gather as the community of God, as we celebrate the real presence of God in the Holy Eucharist. Yes, we are joyful that we heard Jesus proclaim good news to the poor. But we can have joy as well when we recognize in the face of our brothers and sisters who are in need the very face of Christ. Yes, we are joyful that Mary said yes to be the mother of God, but we can have joy in our hearts because we too can bring Christ to birth by the quality of our life, by our witness, by our love. We can have joy today because no matter where we are or when it is, God is with us, Emmanuel. Amen.